want to return to this news about Greece this morning. The country is holding a referendum on the new aid package, which could possibly put some austerity measures, which are very unpopular, to the popular vote. Still with us, Rachel Donadio, Rome bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. So, Rachel, give me a timeline here of exactly what's going to happen. When does this referendum go up? And could this put in jeopardy the entire deal to save Europe from a broader debt crisis?
The timeline is, first of all, in the next couple of days, probably Friday after midnight, Parliament will hold a confidence vote on this government. It's expected to squeak by that. They say that the referendum would take place maybe in December or January. They need to work that out. The question needs to be posed and then voted on by a majority in Parliament and then approved by the president. So there are kind of technical issues. In some ways, it's a way for Papandreou to buy time while the details of the deal worked out in Brussels last week are still being fine-tuned.
So this is just a fake out? I mean, could the deal go forward whether this referendum passes or not?
This is a really good question. I mean, I guess that's the central question, and it's unclear. I mean, the fact is the deal seems to be moving forward. The Parliament has already voted on the bulk of the most difficult austerity measures in exchange for the foreign aid. And so I think that the idea is that the deal needs to be completely hammered out, then it could be put to a vote. But then the question is, if the deal hasn't been hammered out, then what deal will the Greeks be voting on? So it puts pressure on Europe to finalize the deal, and then it puts pressure on the Greek people to see this not just as austerity, but as, do you want to stay in the euro or not?
That's Rachel Donadio, Rome bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, talking about the referendum in Greece. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, one of the victims of the European debt crisis at this point, not just the Greek people, but MF Global. It's a name that was familiar only to traders and bankers up until a couple days ago, but now it's all over the headlines, like Lehman Brothers and AIG and Merrill Lynch got splattered across the headlines. This company could be the first of perhaps several, many, to go down because of the debt crisis in Europe. MF Global filed for bankruptcy yesterday. That's because the firm had bet heavily on European debt. Joining us now, Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, and the person who made these wagers, who waged big time on European debt, was former New Jersey governor, former member of the Senate, John Corzine. Why did he choose to bet big on European debt?
Well, don't forget, he's also former head of Goldman Sachs.
Exactly.
That's the operative thing here. And this was his effort to come back big into the into Wall Street. He bet big because it was a very contrarian bet, and his view was that Europe would never let these currencies fail and never let this debt fail. And so he just made a contrarian bet that if he had won, that the firm would have won, you know, probably billions of dollars in gains. But instead, you know, the debt kept going down, and he had to post losses. And so, you know, ultimately, the market lost confidence in him. The firm wasn't able to fund its overnight lending, and it was basically forced to file for bankruptcy.
And but one of your thoughts, at least from your writing, at least in your piece in the New York Times, is that possibly because he was absent, he was governing New Jersey while the financial crisis was going down, he possibly returned to the exact same tactics he'd used in Goldman Sachs, the same ones that they'd used in the Wall Street pre-financial collapse.
Yes, that was a bit of a joke. I didn't mean to suggest that he had missed the financial crisis entirely. But what is true is that when you look at what they did, what MF Global did, it absolutely has the stench of Lehman or Bear Stearns. I mean, you know, no caution, huge, huge debt himself. I mean, they were leveraged 40-1. That means $40 of debt for every dollar of equity. Nobody does that these days. That's exactly like the kind of behavior you saw in 2007, 2006 that brought these firms down. So you just have to wonder what in the world he was thinking to take such immense risk at a moment in time when risk is really not tolerated.
But Joe, Joe, isn't there a big question of him not just taking his own risk, but risking everybody else's future as well? I mean, he was on CNBC sort of selling this contrarian bet, sort of boosting sort of MF Global. He's a public figure who has this trajectory through Washington. They got favored status, MF Global did, on the New York Stock Exchange, actually guaranteeing some of the floor trades in the New York Fed. This is a serious public question, it seems to me.
I agree with you, John. If he was a 100-person hedge fund, it would be one thing. You know, John Paulson takes huge bets as well, as he did famously in the subprime crisis. His bets aren't paying off either, but nobody really cares. You know, MF Global is a 3,000-person broker-dealer, for crying out loud. The government is actually having to come in there, as it often does in these cases, and move the customers to different firms and make sure their money is safe. And then, of course, there's the question of whether there's money missing as well. But, of course, we don't really know the answer to that. So I think you're absolutely right. It was the wrong kind of vehicle to take that kind of risk.
And possibly another relic of the old days of Wall Street that has lived on and seems to bother you perhaps the most is his severance package. Despite bringing down MF Global, perhaps, he's going to walk away with $12 million.
Well, actually, first of all, he's not, only because they filed for bankruptcy.
Ah.
If he had sold it for a quarter on Monday morning, he would have walked away with $12 million. And that, what I was pointing out is the absurdity that somebody drives. I mean, he really did this himself. You can't blame this on other people at the firm. This was his idea. You know, he drove these bets. These bets were wrong. And yet his contract called for him to get a $12 million severance payment if he sold the firm. And it's now turning out that the only reason he didn't sell the firm, it appears, is because the potential buyer noticed a discrepancy in the accounts, and there's somewhere between $700 and $900 million unaccounted for.
And we're going to ask you more about that in just a moment. Can you stay with us, Joe?
Oh, absolutely.
Joe Nocera is op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and we're talking about MF Global, a brokerage firm, a huge brokerage firm, which, as you heard, was trying to sell a huge part of their business yesterday, but couldn't when federal regulators discovered that there was hundreds of millions of dollars missing. So instead, the company has filed for bankruptcy. We will speak with Joe Nocera more after headlines. Good morning. We're back with Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times, talking about the huge brokerage firm MF Global, which filed for bankruptcy yesterday, and the case of this $700 million missing dollars. And Joe, I mean, at this point, it could be a bookkeeping problem, I assume. But the reason that there's such a scuttlebutt is that this is customers' money. And, of course, there's an ironclad rule that you keep company money separate from customers' money. Could this be just a tempest in a teapot?
It could be. And I'm a little fearful of making too much out of it until we know a little more. I mean, think about the situation in which this discrepancy was discovered. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's had any sleep for 48 hours. You know, they start to see some bookkeeping entries that they don't understand, or see some money that appears to be missing. Nobody has time to figure this out. You know, the deal has to be done before the market opens, and so the potential buyer just got up and said, "We can't do this." They walk out. And so now the question is, what happened to that money? Obviously, it's an important question. Obviously, if it turns out that they were commingling customer money with their own money for trading purposes, they're in a whole lot of trouble. You know, if it turns out to be a bookkeeping problem and the customer money was in fact segregated, then it just turns out to be something that happened, you know, very late at night when everybody was too tired to kind of figure it all out.
That's Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times, and we will probably get the details on what happened to that money in the days ahead. Joe, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.